Good to see each and every one of you this morning. I do want to just continue to encourage you and to remind you to stay on track in your Christian walk. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, around about verse number 5, he would pen these words to encourage the people of God and to remind God's people that in the midst of everything that you go through, learn to depend upon God. And I'm learning that, you know, when you ask God, you got to believe that he's going to do what he says.
That's right.
But see, he's only going to do that if you're in the right relationship with him.
That's right.
And Peter here in 1 Peter chapter 5 will remind each and every one of us the importance of staying on track and the importance of depending on God in the midst of everything that goes on. I don't know about you. Life sometimes is difficult. And you know why it's difficult? You didn't know all I stopped by to tell you this morning. It's difficult because we always try to do what God is able to do. I'm learning that when I let go and let God take control of my life, you know, it just seems that everything just works right out.
All right.
Amen. You know, I've been learning that, you know, when I try to do something, I always mess it up. Anybody? I got a witness or two. That's right. But I'm learning that when I depend upon God, and a lot of times I don't understand God. I don't know about you. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse number 29, the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. And so I'm learning that in the midst of my life, there are some things God did not reveal to me. But one thing he did reveal to me, that if I seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, he would take care of everything else. And so that motivates me. That gives me a joy that sometimes you just don't understand where it comes from. But I do know where it comes from. It comes from a relationship to God. And so Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5, he says, likewise, you youngers, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and he gives grace unto the humble. And so Peter says in verse number 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due time. God never works on Stan's time frame. Man, you probably thinking the same thing, huh? But you know what? He's never late. He may not work when I want him to, but he's always on time. And so Peter says in verse number 6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you don't think the devil's out to get you, you're already working for him.
Right.
The Bible says in verse number 9, who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that is in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called you, us, unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, stable, strengthen, and he settles you.
Amen.
So what's the problem? We don't wait on God. We always try to run ahead of God. And so this morning's lesson is designed to just help us to see that in the midst of every battle that you face, God is always there. And we have to learn to let go and allow God to have his work in us. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, you talk about how much God really loved man. He loved us so much that he sent the very best of heaven to die on the cross. And all he asks from you and I is to love his Father with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Is that difficult to do? We just don't want to do it, isn't it? And so this morning, I want to just give you some words to encourage your heart as you continue to try to stay on track. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus brought us an abundant life. And that life is centered in Him. And when we live our lives in expectation of making heaven our home, you know what? Life takes on a whole new meaning. The things that you try to accomplish, as long as He's first and foremost, guess what? You will accomplish them and much more. I'm learning that, church, in order for me to really stay on track, I got to focus my mind every single day. Why? Because the devil wants to destroy each and every one of us. So for the next few minutes, my text is taken out of Galatians chapter 6 and round about verses 9 and 10. Paul writes these words to the church at Galatia to encourage them and to remind them that don't grow weary in the process of what you do for the Lord. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, Paul says, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh him to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Verse number 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he who soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he who soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Verses 9 and 10 is where I want to draw my lesson from. And let us not grow weary. We live in a very weary world. All you have to do is turn on the TV and you can grow real weary real, real quick. All you have to do is go out into this world in which we live in and you will grow weary. But Paul here writes these words to the believer to remind them, to encourage them that in the midst of everything that you go through in your everyday life, keep your mind focused on what's really, truly important. We're going to leave here.
Amen.
Whether you like to hear it or not, one day you're going to stand before Him. And when you stand before Him, what will His words be to us? Peter says, make your calling what? An election sure. How do I make my calling an election sure? I'll make my calling an election sure if I don't grow weary in the battle to maintain my Christian walk on this time side of life. And sometimes it is a battle. And I'm learning that the reason it's really a battle, because I placed everything before what's really, truly important. Our job, our responsibility is to what? Seek and save the lost. Our job, our responsibility is what? To keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Our job, our responsibility is to help others see the joy that we have as Christians.
Yes.
The joy we have as Christians. Don't we have some joy?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Yes. And if we have joy, shouldn't everyone know it? Let me show you a couple things real quickly. Let me take a quick sidebar here. Let me show you some individuals that had some joy in being a child of God. In the midst of everything that they suffered, the trials, the ridicule, the persecution that they went through, they maintained a joyous attitude about themselves. Acts chapter 4, real quickly, and round about verse number 13. Let me show you an individual here that has been beaten, has been mocked, and has been brought before the courts. And I want you to look at their attitude, because if it had happened to you and I, we'd have probably threw up both hands and said, that's enough of this Christianity.
That's right.
Amen. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. How bold are we in our Christian walk, church?
Amen.
Huh? Do we tell folks about the gospel, or we speak more about how the sun looks and how hot it is? Amen, Walls. You don't have to amen it. See, because somewhere down the line, this thing that we call Christianity, this relationship that we have with God, ought to motivate us to a higher plateau, to where folks look at us like we're crazy. And we're a little crazy because we believe in Jesus Christ. So that ought to bring some joy, some happiness in our lives, regardless of what goes on around us. The Bible says when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, why were they so bold? They told those religious folks that you have crucified the Christ. They got put in jail. But look at the attitude. The Bible says when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Do people know who we've been with? I mean, sometimes we look like a bunch of sour lemons.
Amen.
Look like we've been sucking on persimmons all of our lives. Why? Do we really understand the joy that we have as being Christians? I got the forgiveness of sin. Boy, that you can't get no better than that. I don't care if I don't have nothing on this time side of life. When I die and leave here, because of my obedience to what he has told me to do, I don't have to worry about being hot no more.
No.
Come on. That's right. I don't have to worry about what the weather's going to be like, because I'm going to be in the company of our Lord. The Bible says when they saw the boldness of them and understood that they were ignorant and unlearned, but they took knowledge of them. They know that there was something different about them. Do our neighbors know that there's something different about us?
Yes.
Huh? Or do we have to have it on our bumper sticker around our necks? See, the world ought to know that there's something different about these people that meet on Gayhead Road. They meet there because they love the Lord. And look at how happy they are. Look at how they are so dedicated. When it's time to work, when it's...
Okay.
They ought to know that there's something different about us. They ought to know, if nothing else, we love one another agape. That means unmarried. And I'm willing to lay down my life for you. Yeah, I hear you. Will you really? But see, unless we have the mindset and trying to lay down our lives for one another, we will never, ever even think about laying down our lives. Church, the world we live in ought to know that the church here in Apple Valley is alive and well, because when it's time to assemble, boy, look at their attitude. Look at how they love one another. And I tell you, on Tuesday night, if you missed it, you missed a good treat. We had a hallelujah good time just coming together, talking and trying to encourage one another. That's what the world needs to see in the midst of all of this mess that's going on.
Yeah.
That somebody got some sense about themselves. And it ought to be you and I. You know why? Because they ought to see how bold we are when it comes to serving God. They ought to perceive that we might be ignorant and unlearned, but they ought to know one thing about it. These individuals know Jesus Christ. The Bible says when they saw the boldness of them, they took knowledge of them and knew that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the men which was healed stood with them. And as you read this, you'll find out that they were upset that the apostles had healed this man. And so upset that they brought him before the court and they were ready to condemn them. But I want you to look at the attitude that even if you damn me, I'm still going to serve God. Drop down to around about verse number 19. The Bible says, but when Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You talk about some bold individuals. You talk about individuals that really love the Lord. And church, if we don't grow weary in our Christian walk, guess what? We will have same type of boldness. We'll have such a love in our hearts for mankind that men will think something is really wrong with us. One more person. Acts chapter 16 and round about verse number 25. I want to show you that in the midst of his trials and tribulations, Paul remained steadfast and unmovable because he knew who was in control. How many of us sitting here this morning know who's in control of your life?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Oh, it's easy to say it's God, but if your action don't say God, who's really in control? I want to show you that Peter, John, Paul, they knew who was in control of their lives. And no matter what transpired, they didn't grow weary. Boy, we grow weary at the drop of a hat, huh? Get a new president, everybody just go crazy. Amen, Walls. Nothing should ever slow us down in our Christian walk. Not our finances. Amen.
Amen.
Not whether or not you like me and I like you? No, we ought to rise so high above that that the world is knocking down our doors to get to us. How many of us in our own neighborhoods know that the folk know who we are? Y'all quiet. Acts chapter 16. Let me show you Paul. The Bible says in verse number 29, and at midnight, Paul and Silas was praying. Boy, let midnight come. I like to be a fly at our houses at midnight. You would hear Z's all over the place. But see, when you understand who's in control of your life, your life take on a whole new meaning. Paul and Silas has been thrown into prison simply because they say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they're willing to go to jail for the cause of Christ. And in jail, the heart of the jail, in the dungeon, shackled between soldiers, they have the attitude that we ought to have, and we don't have no shackles. Amen. We ought to be the most excited folk on the face of the earth. Yeah, okay. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing songs unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What does the prisoners in the world hear us? See, because if you're outside of the ark of safety, you're a prisoner. But I've learned you can be in the house and still be lost in the house. Churches, this morning, I just want to encourage us. As I go back to my text in Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing. Amen. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's a message, church, that in 2017, I had to think about that a minute here. I was going to go back in the time. But in 2017, church, does God need you to stand up?
Yeah.
Does he need the church to be the light of the world?
Amen.
Or the mess that sits on the hill? No, he needs us to be the light. He needs us to come out of our cocoons and show the world that in the midst of everything you go through, if you depend on Jesus, he will take you to a much higher plateau. How do I do that? I'm glad you asked. The way you do that is you got to constantly focus on what's really important on this time side of life. I remember when I was a young man raising all of my children.
Yeah.
I'd work from sun up to sundown. Some of you older folk know what I'm talking about. You young folks, just keep a living. You'll learn. You wake up before day, and you're the last one to go to sleep in the house. And then you work two or three jobs just to make ends meet. I did that for many, many years, but one thing I did not forget to teach them what thus saith the Lord. He is first and foremost in your life. And when he's first and foremost, guess what? He'll help the path that, you know, sometimes go like this. He can make it straight. And the only way he's going to make it straight is when you develop the proper relationship with him. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and round about verse number 24? He says, all that run in a race must run, and you run with anticipation. You ever done something and anticipate nothing in return? I didn't think so. When you do something, you expect something in return, do you not? That's why you go to school and work hard all your life, but you anticipated when you get that degree, they're going to pay you for what you have went through.
Amen.
Amen. Why be a Christian and not anticipate making heaven your home?
Amen.
Makes no sense to me. If you're going to anticipate making heaven your home, don't you got to do something? Don't you got to work? And even working is not a guarantee.
Right.
Paul says, run in this race and all must run with some certainty. In our lesson text here, Paul says, let us not grow weary in doing well. He reminds and encourages the believer, stay on track. And the way you stay on track is stay in the word of God. The psalmist said, Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the way of sinners. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates, how? Day and night. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want to learn something, you got to learn how to do it what?
Day.
Come on, y'all. Work with me this morning. Day and night. You got to stay on track. Young folks, if you want to make the best in school. You got to apply yourself every day, and you got to listen to mom and dad whether you like it or not. I don't know. That don't cost y'all nothing.
All right.
But parents, see me afterwards. I'll take my collection then. But somewhere down the line, as God's people, let us not grow weary in what we're doing for the Lord. I want to encourage each and every one of us. The way we don't grow weary is we got to refocus our mind every single day. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I'm learning when you allow the word of Christ to really dwell in you, life takes on a whole new meaning. Couple points. Point message is yours. Point number one, don't grow weary. Keep your light shining. Okay?
Amen.
It's just like having a light bulb in your house. When it starts flickering, what do? You change. Oh boy, y'all with me on them. You change the bulb. How many of us are flickering in our Christian walk? Maybe it's time to change the bulb and get back into the light, which is the word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Number two, continue to stay focused on doing good to those around us. And it's that attitude, that mindset, church, will help us to stay on the right track. In Titus chapter 3 and round about verse number 8, listen to what Paul says to this young gospel preacher. He says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou confirm continuously, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto a man. Paul reminds Titus, stay on track. Stay focused in what you're doing for the Lord. And finally, let's learn to treat others the way God treats us. God loved us so much, he gave the very best of heaven. And all he asked from you and I is that we show that same type of love to the world in which we live in. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. And I'm learning, in order for me not to grow weary, I gotta constantly remind myself what's truly important. And every day it has to come from the word of God. Psalms 121 verses 1 and 2. Listen to these words that the psalmist said. In the midst of everything that was going on in David's life, David understood that he must depend on God in everything that he say and do. And the Bible says in Psalms 121, look at what verse number 1 says. The Bible says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which has made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my feet to be removed. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. What a mind that David understood about God. And I just want to encourage us that no matter what goes on in our lives, if you trust God, if you depend on God, then you have to move by faith that he will do what he said he will do. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Want to encourage you, church? Stay on track. If you're not on fire, let me light one up under you. Amen. Because there's a world out there that needs to be saved. There's some world, the world within our own house might need to be saved. I want to encourage us, don't grow weary. Stay on track. See whatever needs to be done, and then commit yourself to that. If you're here this morning, members of the body of Christ, you're falling short of the glory of God, repent, get on the right track. It's just that simple. If you haven't obeyed from the heart of the gospel, I want to encourage you. Jesus died on the cross that you can be free from your sins. And we learned this morning in our class, prior to death on the cross, there was no forgiveness of sin. It was just rolled forward until he died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he sealed the old covenant and he gave us a brand new covenant. Grace and mercy. And if you're here and you stand in need, whatever it might be, let it be known. Together we stand and sing.